And who have we got here?
Warwick Kemp.
And where are you from, Warwick?
I'm from Adelaide.
And you've got some pretty serious gear out there.
Yes, what I'm trying to do is measure the absolute power and relative power from the corona of the sun.
And how are you measuring the corona of the sun?
I've got a couple of, or three sensors there on a tracker that's just tracking the sun, so I don't have to worry about it. And I'm converting in one case, or in two cases there, the luminous intensity of the sun to a frequency, which I'm then recording on magnetic tape. And the frequency will be proportional to intensity. And that will allow me to then accurately measure that back in the lab, as it were.
And what sort of intensity are you expecting from the corona as compared to the ordinary sun?
Yeah, I don't really know, but if it's something like a million times, I'm trying to cover all contingencies. I'm going down to as low a level as I can measure. And I've got two instruments that overlap, so if one doesn't get it, the other will.
And this recording equipment must take a fair bit of power. How are you powering all this?
I've generated my own 240 volts there. I've actually got a solar panel powering the car battery, so the equipment's actually running now. I'm going to run right into the eclipse. I've got an inverter there running from the car battery, but I've also got a solar panel topping up the car battery. But this might sound a bit like a misnomer, because here I am using a solar powered device during an eclipse. But nevertheless, it will put the power in before the eclipse hits, and even though the sun is disappearing, I still get a bit of energy out.
So you'll be running on reserve power, on the stored energy in the battery?
Yeah, I'll be running on battery only then.
And what other instruments have you got here? Just that one? Or?
I'm doing a plot of... This is of no great scientific interest. You could probably do this from theory only. I'm plotting short circuit current out of a solar panel through the eclipse as well. But I've also got some photographic equipment there. I'm going to do multiple image plots just to show the development of an eclipse using several cameras. I had to go back to old technology. I've got one camera there dated 1913. It's quite appropriate for use on an eclipse. It's got an f-stop up to 128 and shutter speed to 1/100th. And I'm using half ASA film, so I hardly need any neutral density filter to get the light level down.
And have you seen an eclipse before?
Only partials. I couldn't go to the last eclipse in 76. I was in my final year of study then. I was also working full time. I was studying part time and simply could not afford the time to go down to Mount Gambier and view it. So I'm making up for it this time with a significant effort.
Great. And what do you do normally as a profession?
I'm now retired, but I was a scientist with DSTO, in fact.
Oh, okay. What sort of work did you work on? I realise some of the work there is classified, but you might better say in general.
Yeah, well, in my final years I did work on dark projects, but in my earlier years I did a lot of work in radar, both HF radar and microwave radar. In my later years you might broadly call it communications, but special aspects of communications.
And would that work have brought you up here to the Woomera Rocket Range?
Yes, I used to... I was actually at the Woomera Range. I spent 3 months here in its heyday when rockets were going off just about every day. That was absolutely fascinating. It was a really vibrant time as well, both up here and down at Salisbury.
Do you have any special memories of those days here at Woomera?
I can think of one where I watched a skylark launched from the top of the IB out at Range E, and the thing went up dead vertical. And... when the first stage separated, it was falling back, it seemed to me, as far as I could tell, right on me, and I was wondering what I would do. I said, surely these people in this building would know whether it was going to fall on the building. But anyway, it thudded into the ground, made a hell of a roaring sound on the way down, because it got side on, you had the wind going past two ends of an open tube. Very eerie sound. But it thudded into the ground only about a quarter of a mile away from me and kicked up a huge cloud of dust.
And that must have been pretty scary.
Yes, it was until I knew that it wasn't going to hit me.
And was this in the daytime or a nighttime?
It was a daytime launch, yeah.
Have you seen any nighttime ones? I believe they're more spectacular in some ways.
No, I never saw a nighttime launch. I saw the Icara anti-submarine rocket slash torpedo thing tested in anger many times. They were quite spectacular, especially when they were doing short range runs, and they would actually drop them to the ground by flipping the fins, I think, to dive them into the ground, and they had lots of fuel left. They would writhe around on the ground and kick up a hell of a dust. I remember being downrange once with one of those with the recovery vehicle. I don't know what I was doing there. I don't think I was supposed to be there. And an Icara, they were downrange expecting it to fall in front of them, but it didn't. It went straight over the top. So I've seen Icaras at close range, you might say.
Oh, great. Well, thanks for joining us this evening on the Space Show.
All right. My pleasure.